Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
The idea of try one more time is that it's based in kind of the premise of Napoleon Hill's story called 3 Feet from Gold, meaning that you are every person, and I know that it might be tough to grasp the concept of this when you're not quite achieving what it is that you want. But what you have to realize is that you're closer to your goal than you think you are. No matter how big it is, no matter how daunting it may seem, no matter how visionary in scope, no matter how limited your resources may be, you have to understand that it is actually a spiritual principle that you are connected to the goal. You and the goal are actually one. We're bridging the gap through the use of our intellect. Now, I'm not going to get into that so much as I'm going to get into the idea that it's when we stop that we cut off the possibility of the manifestation of the thing that we want. But if we incorporate the idea of try one more time with everything that we do, you're going to see such improvement as you've never seen in your life. I mean, it is fascinating how well this actually works. However, you have to do it. So, on a sheet of paper, write down, try one more time. Now, I would suggest that you also put this on sticky notes. You can put it in a goal card. You can put it on your computer. You can put it on your phone, a screensaver. Put it on your bathroom mirror. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it everywhere so you're being inundated with this idea, try one more time. Now, when we say that, we also have to know failure is an absolute. You're going to fail. That's why you have to try one more time, because there is no success without failure. You should be looking to fail as much and as often as you possibly can, because that's where you have to grow. When you grow, you get the goal that you want. Remember, goals give your life direction, and it is the journey that causes you to become more. So number one, if you stop once, it becomes a habit. If you stop once, it becomes a habit. Now, I can tell you that in certain areas of my life, I have been a real professional at this one. Once is too much. So we have to understand that everything that we do builds momentum. When we take an action or a non-action, it builds momentum. And when we have a habit that is building momentum, we have like a freight train to either what we want, or we have a freight train to disaster, the things that we don't want. So number two is habits gain momentum. Habits gain momentum. So let's go back to number one. If you stop once, it becomes a habit. How many times, and you have to be honest with yourself here, have you said, well, I'm just going to do it this once, or I'm just going to go off my diet this one time, or I'm just not going to exercise this one day, I'm just not going to make sales calls today, I'm just not going to go after that one opportunity, I'm just not going to travel this time? And then that turns into one more time, and one more time, and one more time. Every time you say no, every time you stop, it becomes easier to do it the next time. It actually does. It's totally psychological. It's totally emotional. Once we stop, it becomes easier to do it the next time. So you have to build a hardcore philosophy in your life, starting with try one more time. Then, if you stop once, it becomes a habit. So what does that mean? That means that you have to take success as a lifestyle choice for yourself. There is no stopping once. You don't stop. period. You absolutely get it to a place where you're raising a standard where it no longer becomes a toleration that you're actually going to stop. Now, are there times with certain things where you might have to stop, or what I would actually say is pause, not stop? Yeah, there are. But you have to play a different game with yourself and ask yourself this question: is it really necessary? And then ask the question two or three more times: is it really necessary? And think about it. Because generally, you're going to find that probably 99% of the times when you convince yourself to stop, because of whatever reason you're giving yourself, it's not necessary. It's absolutely not necessary. It's your, you know, I learned this when I was in the Army, when they take you through basic training, because after a couple of weeks of that, everything that you do, you feel like you're going to die, because there's not a part of your body that doesn't hurt. You're absolutely exhausted. It feels like it's never going to end. And what they teach you is that there's so much that you can do when you're working through the pain and through all these other different things that they're putting you through, that it's actually not going to kill you. And you can go much further than you ever thought that you could before. But you have to take it in bite-sized pieces, so it's try one more time. Number three is, do you know your best? Now, try one more time, and stopping becomes a habit are really great foundational ideas to put into your psychology. But then to move forward from there, we have to ask ourselves, do we know our best? Because when we try one more time, we have to try a little bit better than last time. So let me say that again. When we try one more time, we have to try a little bit better than last time. And when I say a little, I mean a little. If you make a little bit of progress every day in a short period of time, you've made a lot of progress, okay? Sometimes people take on way more than they can handle psychologically and emotionally, and they literally just stop themselves right in their tracks. You know what you can deal with, and you know what you can't deal with. So go to the very edge of what you can deal with and start from there. So let me just tell you a story. And this is part of the story that I tell in all of my programs. When I was stuck at $20,000 a year, and I was working on the dock, and I was driving a truck, the way that I tell the story is that I came to this realization that I needed to change my attitude, but I didn't know what an attitude was. And the three areas of my attitude that I identified were that I needed to love what I did, I needed to treat everybody with total respect, and I needed to do every job to the best of my ability. Okay, so the first one, loving what I did, was simply acting like I loved what I did. Everybody can do that. We all have the ability to act a little bit. You're not maybe not going to get an Oscar, but you can act a little bit, okay? Everybody has the ability to treat other people with respect. The hard part, I think, at least for me and most of the people that I have trained and coached over the years, is really understanding how to better your best. And the first thing is to understand that most people have no idea what it is to give their best in anything, because we're taught mediocrity. So we get this idea that if we are mediocre, but we do it hard, or we do it long, that we're giving our best. And that's not necessarily the truth at all. So I kind of began the process of evaluating every single step of the job that I was doing. And I realized very quickly that I was not giving my best at anything. So I would do something that was required in my job in those days, and then I would turn around and look at it and say, could I do that better? is there a way I could have done that better? And then I would immediately, as soon as I recognized how I could do it better, I would go back and I would do it better. So I would look for how I could have done this better and then immediately go back and do it better. Now, I think that that was the primary reason why I began to advance so much so quickly. Because the truth was, is it was only a few short years after I did that that I broke through the $1 million mark in my business. And at that point, I didn't even have a business yet. But I kept that idea of thinking to myself, number one, am I giving this my best? Number two, looking at what I was doing and asking myself, could I have done it better? And how could I have done it better? And then number three, immediately going back and doing it again, as long as I could do it again, I would fix it that time. If not, I would do it the way that I identified it better the next time. So this is about becoming a little bit better every single day. Now, where this becomes uncomfortable, let me put it like this. You know that you're programmed with mediocrity at least if this is actually uncomfortable for you. Very few people are raised with this kind of ethic in their life. And that's not a slam on anyone, and I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying that if this is difficult, you know your programming is mediocrity. Now, you can change it. You can totally change it. But you have to be willing to look and be totally honest with yourself. This means no snow job on yourself, right? You cannot lie to yourself about what it is that you're doing if you really have the intention of mastering this and becoming the greatest you that you can possibly become. So you have to look at yourself, you have to look at everything that you're doing and ask yourself this question, and it's a real sobering question. Am I giving this my best? If not, that's perfectly fine. What did it just tell you? What it did was it was an intelligent question. It told you where you need to go to work, what you need to change. You could do this in every area of your life. Think about how you think every day. Ask yourself, am I thinking at my best? In other words, am I thinking the thoughts that I should be thinking? Or am I allowing my mind to run amok with all kinds of drama thoughts and personal injury thoughts and I'm offended thoughts and entitlement thoughts and I can't do it thoughts? Or are you sucking it up a little bit and going, no, wait a minute now. I can choose to think something different even though my mind is wanting to go down that road. I'm going to give this my best. And you start, every time you start to have a thought that is in the wrong direction, you say, oh, stop, I'm going to think something different, right? So now you start to build a mental psychological muscle and a way of thinking that becomes an asset to you, right? Instead of your mind running you, you're running your mind. Remember this, the whole idea of mastery is that you get to the point where your mind, your thinking consciously tells your body what to do, it tells your business what to do, it tells, you know, it directs the outcome that you consciously want for yourself. Next, your emotions, okay? When you're feeling bad, when you're feeling blue, when you're feeling sad, if it's not appropriate in order to feel these feelings in those moments, you have to ask yourself, how can I feel differently? How can I give my best to this? So Tony Robbins used to talk about that as changing your state, having the ability to change your emotional state so that it serves you and you're not serving it. You got to remember, we've got millions of triggers inside of our mind that come in through our senses, all of our senses, that can instantaneously trigger us to be in a negative emotion just based on a smell or a sound or a color or music or the tone of a person's voice or an experience that we have through the day. and instantly put us into an emotional feeling, if you will, that causes us to be completely not productive. It causes our thoughts to derail and go into doubt, fear, and worry, or shame or guilt or something else that is completely not productive. And it's an indication of where you can start to give your best. So you can say to yourself, I'm going to change my emotion. Instead of feeling angry, I'm going to feel grateful. Instead of feeling sad, I'm going to feel happy. And you can start working on changing those emotions, giving your best. Next is coming down to what it is that you do on a daily basis. Really looking at the very specific things that you do and asking yourself, am I really giving this my best? Am I giving my best to my work? Am I giving the best to my relationships? Am I giving the best to my employees? Am I giving the best in my contribution? Whatever it is that you're doing, you're constantly analyzing it for yourself and asking yourself, am I giving this my best? If the answer is no, how can I make it better? And then immediately you start to do it in a better way. So it literally becomes a habit that gains momentum in that direction. Number four, make it better, try one more time. Now, every time we set out to do something, we're going to get a result. That result is either, so we could call it this, we could say the result is a successful result, or the result was a failure. Now, the problem with that is that that also has the indication of how we feel, because we very much have locked up inside of us good feelings, you know, that we relate to success, and bad feelings that we relate to failure. It doesn't have to be that way. A result can simply be a result. And you analyze the result like this. Is this result the result that I want? Is it taking me in the direction that I want to go? Or is this result not what I want and taking me in a direction that I don't want to go? So we're kind of removing the judgment from it, so that it's not playing off any past story that we have. And instead of feeling bad about it and wanting to quit and give up, we actually try one more time. I tell salespeople all the time to follow this rule, because I think that not only do salespeople have the ability to out-earn just about everybody in the world, but salespeople also have the ability to fail at record numbers. And part of it is that they don't know how to control their own psychology around making sales. Every organization on the planet gets more no's than they get yeses when it comes to sales. I don't care whether it's McDonald's or Apple's computers or Bill Gates, or it doesn't matter what the company is, more people say they're not going to buy from them than are actually going to buy from them. So from a salesperson's perspective, we're getting more no's, more rejection every day than we actually get accepted, you know, where we actually make the sale. So you have to be very careful not to let your mindset fall into the trap of, you know, I've attempted to make 10 sales today, I got 10 no's. And tomorrow I tried to make 10 sales and I got 10 no's. And the next day, tried to make 10 sales, I got 10 no's. You start to believe the results that you're experiencing. In order to change that, we go to these two ideas. Number one is try one more time. Make it a little bit better than it was before. The philosophy that I have for salespeople is, if you lose a sale, in order to psychologically overcome that, you have to make two more, not one more. Because for every sale that you lose, you need one to replace it, and you need one to build your self-esteem. That equals two sales, okay? I have followed that and challenged myself with that my entire career. I made it so that if I got a no, I was going to get 2 sales or 5 sales or 10 sales just to prove to my mind consistently that I was going to win at this and not lose. So it always became try one more time. I would always work on it the very best that I could every day to make a sale. I had a philosophy that I had to make a sale every day, period, no matter what. Usually more than one, but I never wanted to go to bed without making a sale. So there were times where I would stay up till midnight, 2 o'clock in the morning, working on making a sale because it was try one more time, try one more time, try one more time. Do not let the stopping of something become a habit, okay? Do not let a failure become a habit. Do not let a result that you don't want become a habit. All right, number five. Read and feel your compelling reason, okay? So these, again, we're going back to the rudimentary tools for mastery. When you're in this place where you feel like stopping, you need to pull out your arsenal. You need to pull it out. You need to read to yourself, what is the reason that I'm doing this? I'm tired. I'm hungry. I want to just, you know, curl up in a ball and go to sleep. But my philosophy is try one more time. If I don't have that compelling reason in front of me, what do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the refrigerator. I'm going to go to the couch. I'm going to go to the bed. I'm going to do something that is going to put in momentum the thing that I don't want. So the compelling reason is very important. Until you have this completely ingrained in your psychology and your behavior, you want to keep that compelling reason very handy so that it is always there. And even when you do have it in your psychology, you still want to have it handy so that you're constantly using it to keep refreshing. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? You got to remember, we can get so caught up in all the minutiae of everything that we're doing, sometimes we can lose our perspective as to why I'm doing this or why I even started doing this to begin with. And we have to go back down to the basics, you know, go right back down to the roots and then kind of rebuild our mind up from there. Number six, do what you think you can't. This has to become an absolute in your life. You have to have the philosophy that the moment that you think you cannot do something, you have to do it. And it is also, you have to also realize, it is something that you're probably supposed to do. Otherwise, you wouldn't be thinking that you can't do it. Remember, spirit always shows you what to do. Your mind tells you what not to do. Spirit doesn't speak in fear. Your mind speaks in fear and limitations. Spirit doesn't know fear and limitations. So you have to create the philosophy, do what you think you can't do. Otherwise, those things begin to control you. Now, I'll tell you that I have literally watched people's lives completely transform with this idea. Do the thing that they think that they can't do. Now, why would they transform? Okay, so let's think about it for a moment. You're not going to walk around every day thinking about things in your life that you absolutely have no desire to be, do, or have. They're just not going to enter into your consciousness. There's billions and billions of things all over the world that are going on simultaneously. There's all different kinds of things that you can be, do, or have. You are attracted or in harmony with only a certain number of those things because those things are part of your purpose of being here. So when something comes to you, when you're literally attracting something into your life, you're becoming aware of what that thing is, and you say to yourself, I don't think I can do that, or I don't want to do that, and you start to come up with a reason, you have to recognize, now wait a second, there is a reason this thing here is in my life. I need to do the thing that I think that I can't do. Do you know why ahead of time? Probably not. That's what the kicker is. You don't always know why you have to do the thing that you can't do. You won't know why till you get on the other side of it, okay? And sometimes you won't know why until you get way on the other side of it. Every time you have to break through in strength for your psychology, for your emotions, for your habitual actions, it is teaching you something about yourself. It's teaching you something about your life. It's teaching you something about your purpose. And it is building strength as you continue to move forward. So when you have the philosophy and when you're really living by this ideology of, I have to do the thing that I think that I can't do, I start to build momentum in a direction where I get stronger. And I get stronger, and I get stronger, and I get stronger. Now remember, when you're weak, you're working for your weakness. When you get strong, your strength is working for you. That's what takes something and actually begins to make it easy. If you've listened to things that I have said or taught in the past, I often tell you that the more money you make, the easier it actually is. That's because once a person breaks through and they really start to learn how to make money, it becomes the foundation for who they are. Most people spend their entire life working for money. But once you learn how to make money, then the money begins to work for you. The opportunities begin to work for you because it's no longer difficult for you to be able to do it, right? So the thinking is do the thing that you think that you can't do, okay, so that you're literally turning it into something that is serving you versus you living under it or you actually serving it. And then the last thing is do it again. Do it again, okay? Mastery is about repetition, and it is about constant repetition. If we're going to integrate it into our nervous system, it's about constant spaced repetition, where we're doing the same thing on such a regular structure and with such a regular strategy that it becomes completely ingrained into who we are, so that we don't have to think about it again. Remember, the part of the program of mastery is to teach you how to think so that you don't have to think. Now, I want you to think about that again. Mastery is to teach you how to think so that you don't have to think. It's when you have to constantly think about things that you make the most mistakes. When you can't go by gut instinct. When you don't have that internal compass pointing you in the direction so that you don't think. If you look at the greatest athletes, the greatest actors, the greatest artists, okay, they're not sitting around thinking about the things that they're doing. They're acting out of pure instinct because they have done the same thing over and over and over and over and over so many times that it is ingrained into who they are. No thinking is required. Now, you've done this in many areas of your life. If you know how to drive, and you didn't just start driving yesterday, you know that you don't have to think about how to drive. You don't have to think about how to drive. But if you do think about it, you're going to get yourself into big trouble. If a car in front of you slams on its brakes and you think to yourself, gee, should I slam on my brakes? Too late. You've already hit the car. It's too late. So you've done the repetition so many times so you don't have to think about what to do when something happens. You just automatically are able to do it. You're able to hit the brakes so you don't hit the car in front of you. You're able to course correct in the business so that it doesn't go under. You're able to make the next sale and not be paralyzed by the thinking of, is this going to work? Is this not going to work? Should I do it? Should I not do it? So that you're consistently moving forward and the money is always coming in. So that you're not paralyzed by thought. And it all starts with the idea of try one more time, and it ends with the idea of do it again, and do it again, and do it again.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.